Sure. That's a great question. And we were talking yesterday, and again, God's sovereignty, he knows how to lead us and guide us to connect us with individuals so people's lives can be changed for eternity. If we could lower the screen and do all that, that'd be great, okay? I don't really like statistics. Oh, you skipped the song. Okay, that's all right, Pastor. That's fine, all right? This is only a two-hour message, so we're good tonight, all right? The Bible, obviously, is the key, the major key to all maturity. And if we want our kids to grow in spiritual maturity, if we want to, as moms and dads, grow spiritually, we must be totally committed to the Word of God, the precious Bible. This book, everything we need to know for life, everything we need to know for godliness, everything we need to know for Christ's likeness, it really is in this book. But there is an issue that we face. If you read about statistics and you read like Barna's statistics or maybe Ken Ham's book, Already Gone, they tell us right now that 60% of all the kids, all the young people of your church, 60%, when they leave home, they're going to leave God. I hate that statistic. And wouldn't it be cool if this church could kind of mess that all up, never leave instead of already gone? That would be wonderful. Why? Why do so many turn their back on God after being raised in our churches and raised in Christian homes, vacation Bible school, Sunday school? Why? So in studying this, because teenagers are my life, there's a number of reasons, but I really study the top three. And the very first reason why those in their 20s and 30s who have been interviewed and asked, why have you left, they say this: the church or the Bible is not relevant today. The Bible is old-fashioned. The Bible is antiquated. It doesn't work anymore. Now, why do they say that? Well, obviously, they don't know the word very well. You say, okay, Rand, well, what do you do? What do you do if in our homes we got everybody grumpy pants and everybody upset and everybody mad? What do we do? Well, you study a book in the Bible that gives you the fourfold secret of outrageous, contagious joy. That's the book of Philippians. What do you do when you feel misunderstood or hated or rejected by friends and even family? That actually is the book of 1 Peter. What about, how do you know if somebody is truly saved? Is there a counterfeit Christianity? How do you expose counterfeit Christianity? That's the book of 2 Peter. The psalm book in the Old Testament, it's the book of Psalms. Proverbs actually is a guidebook to counseling teenagers. And I can go on and on and on with the Word of God. But tonight, we're going to get very, very specific on this: the relevancy of Scripture in our digital world. Now, some of you are of the age that you remember when we used to have telephones that would hang on the wall. Do you remember that? And if you wanted to call somebody, it was kind of like you picked up the receiver, you go, hello, operator? You know, that kind of thing. And now today, we don't even live like that. Most kids can't even believe that there would actually be a telephone on the wall. Teenagers and kids today, they don't ever remember growing up in a world without the internet. Some of you remember growing up in a world without cars. Some of you knew Moses personally. I've talked to you. And things change in our world. So how are we going to help our kids today really believe that the Bible, Scripture, is relevant for your cell phone and for Facebook and for Snapchat and for Instagram and for Pinterest? And some of you are going, Rand, I don't know what you're even talking about. But the kids do. And they're all smiling at me like, Rand, you just missed three of them. Yeah. Would you say this passage out loud together with me? Ready? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture, every bit of it, is inspired by God, Or in other words, it is what? God breathed. Very good. What does it mean, God breathed? It means it's inspired. What is inspired? It means it's God breathed. How do you tell a teenager or a kid that the word of God is God breathed? Do this. I'm going to treat you like campers, okay? I'm talking about ninth graders. Take your hand, put it in front of your mouth. Everybody, do it with me. Don't be ashamed. Repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Huh? Did you smell that? Okay. You cannot speak without breathing. And God breathed out these words. And then he asked his friends like Isaiah and David and Moses and Matthew and John and Paul to write it all down for us. He inspired it. He preserves it. Oh, this is a wonderful, precious book. And it is very, very relevant, very profitable for doctrine, teaching us what is right, for reproof, teaching us what is wrong, for correction, teaching us how to make the wrong right again, instruction in righteousness, teaching us how to keep it right, that your kids and your grandkids, your husband, your wife might be mature. Now, you hang around teenage girls very long, and you will hear them talk about boys. And normally they will say something like this. Oh, they are like so immature. Okay, you're going to hear them say that. I wonder if God looked down at us and would say, wow, spiritually they're pretty immature. It could be. If we don't know how to take this book and apply it to every single issue in life. So, what do you do when your teenager comes to you, they're 13, says, Mom, Dad, can I have a cell phone? Mom, Dad, can I have a Facebook account? No! That's our first response. Not until you're 40, okay? And there's two different philosophies in this. We can huddle around our kids and protect them forever, but you forget that they are going to turn like 18 and they're going to leave home. And I'm all for protecting kids, but we also have to prepare them for this big, bad, ugly world that we live in. And I would rather be right by their side when they had their first Facebook account so I can walk them through. So you want Facebook? Fine. You can only have 10 friends. Mom and Dad and I, we must be top two friends, open to all of us. And we got some other rules here that we'll talk about, and we'll see that tonight. And so teens, if you are interested in some of this digital world, I'm going to give you a little secret tonight, how you can talk Mom and Dad into allowing you to begin to have one. Your parents are just saying, Rand, you just lost me. No, you will see. If we take the Word of God and use it in a very relevant way with the media world we live in, you don't have to be afraid. Okay? For the young ones, teenagers. Okay, actually, if you are 25 or below, can I see your hands high, please? 25 or below. You know, when you're of that age, Pastor, put your hand down. Obviously, you almost feel sometimes that nobody really trusts you. They don't think you have a brain. They don't think you have anything to offer. What do you know? I mean, you're a kid. You're a teen. You're in your 20s. You're at college. You can never win because you feel like those older than you are always looking down on you. And then even if you're left at home to babysit your little brothers and sisters, the minute Mom and Dad's gone, what do they say? You're not the boss of me. So you're always looked down on just because you're young. You cannot win. But God is saying here in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth. This word despise means to look down upon. It doesn't mean to hate. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But be an example of all believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I see a lot of young couples here. And as the church changes and people change, sometimes the older generations will look at those in their 20s and 30s and think, what are they doing? They worship differently. They dress differently. They think differently. And it gets a little scary. And actually, those in their 20s and 30s are doing to those of us who are older the same thing we did to our parents back in our day. Yeah, same thing. It's called change. And change will happen. So if we're to approach change in a biblical fashion. Here we go. Let's take this and totally unpack this verse. Be an example in our digital world. If you're younger, if you're in your 20s, maybe even early 30s, or of course teens, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But you be an example for all believers, those who are older than you and those who are younger than you, in word, speech, and what you say. Specifically, how do you talk to others in our digital world? And I'm talking about cell phone-aholics and text monsters. Now, teens know how to text. 20s, they can take two phones and text the Gettysburg Address and talk to you at the same time. And then you ever watch a grandma try to text? You know, your arm's not long, you just can't hardly get it, you know? And then spell check really messes you up sometimes, you know? So, if you're younger, even for mom and dad and your grandparents, be an example. Be an example in the way you use your cell phone and the way you text. But what does God's word say about this? Well, here we go. In Romans 12, verses 9 through 12, let love be without dissimulation. That means don't let it be fake, phony, or hypocritical. Hate, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not lazy or slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So if you take a passage like this and you study it out and you take every phrase and every word so that you can sit down and you really, really understand what this is talking about written to the Romans back in that day in the way that they communicated, I think you will be amazed at how well it can apply today. For instance, let love be without dissimulation. Let your love be real. So when it comes to your texting and a cell phone, are you ignoring others or being rude just because a friend calls? Have you ever talked to somebody, maybe here at church or in another venue, and it's almost like while you're talking to them, they're looking around to see if there's somebody more important coming in? You feel like nothing. And do we understand how if I'm talking to somebody and the second the phone goes off, it's like that person doesn't even exist anymore? I mean, Verizon telling me that my bill is ready is more important than the conversation I'm having face to face. And for some reason, those phones, they just kind of supersede everything that's going on in real life. Let your love be real. Hate evil and love good. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Are you careful what you talk or text about? Have you learned how to gossip with your phone? Complain with your phone? Have you learned how to be what the Bible calls a busybody in other people's matters? Because you communicate so quickly with your phone. Is it easy to talk about other people with your phone? Or do you only deal with that which is good? Be kind and loving by preferring and honoring others. Are you conscious of people around you? I'm talking specifically about public places and the 10-foot zone, and also keep your phone on vibrate, please. There is no place sacred anymore. Churches, weddings, funerals. I have to fly a lot, a couple times a month, and on airplanes, it is hideous. You basically don't even land before the phones are out. Hey, yep, just landed, and they don't even need to call them. They can hear them the way they're shouting, okay? And even in churches, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, when a dad's cell phone goes off in the church, here's what happens. He goes, and it's turned off. When a mom's cell phone goes off in a church service, and they start digging in their suitcase, you know? Finally, it goes off, and you think, oh, good. And then they leave a message, and it does it again, okay? 10-foot zone. Honestly, if I know my wife's going to call or one of my kids, and I notice that, and I would just say, Pastor, if you don't mind, I really want to take this call with my wife. And I do step away, and I'll talk to them. But other than that, the people can wait. They really can.
That's right.
Let's just be careful. And you have to understand that when James says straightway, he forgetteth what manner of man he is. That means the word of God in a church service can be convicting a heart. And it maybe is convicting about something very serious. And the pastor's preaching, explaining this passage, and then a couple phones go off or tweet or somebody gets a text. And that person is distracted. Straightway, they literally can forget what the word of God is doing in their hearts. That's why it's very, very important that we're careful. And this is the time normal everybody checks their phone to make sure it's off. Keep a zealous, intense testimony for God. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do those you talk to know that you love God more than them? Communication is communication. How can you use this phone in a very positive way to let your kids, your husband, your wife know that you love God? I don't want anybody to raise their hands, but ladies, have you ever received a text from your husband that simply said something like, honey, let me share what I learned in my devotions this morning. God is so good. Did you know you can text what God's doing in your life? You can. I have a lot of friends that have a lot of pressure on them. And at times I'll just text, hey, prayed for you this morning. That's it. Nothing else. And that means so much. Sometimes I'll just take a passage and quickly text it, or principle of God. I was in one coffee shop early one morning and I was studying John, and it was almost like John was right there. You know, I remember texting my wife and I said, hon, just want you to know that I'm sitting here in a Starbucks with the Apostle John, and he's doing great, and he wanted to say hi. And she texts back, tell him thanks, and thanks for taking care of Mary, you know. And it's just, he's, I know we're nuts, but understanding that you can communicate what God is doing in your heart.
Amen.
Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young, but be an example for all believers in life, conduct, and behavior. Specifically, how do you behave in public in our digital world? What are we talking about? Blogs, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, etc. These are all part of life. Yes, sir. 10-foot zone. That's where if somebody does call you and you need to take a call, I just say, excuse me, pastor, and you just walk away a little bit so you're not being rude. It's just a kindness thing. We need to keep our phones 10 feet away from us on Thanksgiving Day so we don't answer them even during that meal, if you know what I mean, okay? So, what does God say about this? When your kid comes and asks you, Dad, Mom, can I get a Facebook? And it's coming to you, young parents. What do you do? The best thing to do is put all the pressure on God. I'm serious. And if they come to you, say, you know, that's a good question. In fact, I was wondering when you're going to ask. So here's a verse I want you to study. Would you say this verse out loud together with me? Ready? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if you hang with teens very much, especially girls, and they get upset, you say, what's wrong? Nothing. Whatever. You know, back in Paul's day, they said whatsoever, but it's a little different here. You take a verse like this. It is perfect for any of your kids that come to you and ask about a Facebook or a cell phone. Here's what you tell them. Say, okay, honey, I'm going to give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks, you're going to study Philippians 4:8. You go to the pastor, you can get a commentary. I want you to do a word study on every word. I want you almost like write an essay on this one verse. I want you to know what every word means and what every question is, okay? And in 2 weeks, on Thursday night, we'll go out for a date. Now, you used to go to McDonald's, get a Coke. Now you mortgage your home, go to Starbucks, and get a latte. But anyway, you're going to go out. You're going to sit down, and you're both going to share with each other what you learned from Philippians 4:8. Now, let them study this themselves before you come. Teach them how to fish, and they can keep fishing. Don't just fish for them, okay? With that in mind, whatsoever things are true. God gives us a grid, a checklist. And if you violate God's checklist, you have lost the privilege to have your Facebook account, or you have lost the privilege to have your phone for 2 weeks. Now when the temptations are coming, they're not just worried about dad getting mad and mom freaking out. Now, they're choosing to obey or disobey God. And that's what we want to prepare them for. Have you ever lied online? Have you gossiped? Have you exaggerated? Have you spread rumors? Lying lips are still an abomination to the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you talk it, type it, or text it. God hates lying. Our kids need to understand that it's a sin that God hates. Whatsoever things are honest or honorable, have you dishonored your parents or God? Mom and dad, they just don't understand anything. They're so old-fashioned, they won't even listen. That's all it takes to show disrespect to your mom and dad. A quick text to a friend. Just going on your Facebook and making sure you don't put it right out where they can see it, but going and messaging to them. If you show dishonor, you violate the principle that God's laid out for us, and you lose your phone. Whatsoever things are just, have you been fair to friends by talking to them before talking to others? Did you know the number one hated sin amongst teenagers is gossip? No teen loves to be talked about. And honestly, girls, teenage girls can be pretty catty sometimes, can't they? And they can be mean. But teenage girls grow up to be moms. And teens don't even like Facebook anymore because moms have taken it over. And what goes on in Facebook and being critical of other churches and other people and other ministries, sad. It's very sad. And I personally believe it breaks the heart of God. And the problem is, it used to be that you would hope somebody would forget something you would say, but today it's out there forever. Whatsoever things are pure, have you involved yourself in impure conversations? Have you teased in an improper way? Have you been too friendly with somebody who is not your wife? Have you allowed yourself to be involved in impure conversations? Whatsoever things are lovely, have you been ugly or unkind to others? Whatsoever things are commendable, have you kept a positive approach to life? Whatsoever things are excellent, have you lost your spirit of excellence by giving into sin? Whatsoever things are praiseworthy to God, have you pleased God in what you say? And God is serious about our communication. Even if it's on a computer, an iPad, or a cell phone. God's serious. By the way, this is not something new to God. This has been around a long time. In fact, you know, I hear about Apple Computer and all their terminology and how brave and how wonderful and how smart they are. Come on. What did God write the Ten Commandments on? A what? A tablet, okay? And where was all the information kept? In the cloud, all right? And he's given us a text in his word many times, okay? So, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young, but be an example of all believers in love and a spirit of genuine concern for others rather than self. Specifically, how do you deal with selfishness in our digital world? Let's talk about iTunes addicts and Xbox junkies. Are games fun, guys? Yeah. Is music a part of life? Oh, yeah. Is our world so connected today that it is actually disconnected from the real world that it lives in? Yes. If you constantly allow your children to be somehow plugged in, where they now have the utter choice of who and what they hear almost 24/7, who's singing to them, the background of the games, the conversation with friends, Where because of the earbud world, they don't even have to listen to mom and dad and the world around them because now they have created their own small little world. Now, I'm not against games. And music is a part of life. Music is a big part of my life because I have spent a lot of time in coffee shops working. I spent 4 hours today, but I put on headphones and I have music that just drowns the rest of the world out. And I get digging in and, oh, it's amazing, amazing how this can help you to concentrate. What does God say? From Philippians 2, in lowliness of mind, basically describing humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Don't be selfish. But every man also on the things of others. So my question is this. Does being plugged in and connected disconnect you from your family? I sat down in a restaurant to eat while I was sitting there. I looked up and it looked like a mom and three kids came in. The three girls sat down. They hadn't been down for 60 seconds. For two of them were texting their friends and the other one put the earbuds in and was just closing their eyes going like this. There sat mom all by herself looking around. She finally gets time to go out with her girls. And they're not even communicating. Does being connected disconnect you? Do you husbands and wives sit with some kind of eye system on your laps night after night after night, doing your own little thing without communicating or whatever? When we don't communicate, when we don't talk, well, let me say this. Could you imagine going a whole month and never praying? Never talking to God? When I hear the statistics that dads spend an average of 37 seconds a day with their kids, wow. It's not a wonder sometimes that our kids don't want to follow after us because they hardly even know us. Does being plugged in connected disconnect you from God? Again, I think I mentioned on Sunday, Facebook and Fox News gets much, much more time than God does. Now, the Fox News addicts, by the way, it repeats. Look at it. Every 11 minutes. And you've heard everything that Trump can ever say. And you already made your decisions about the other candidates and so forth, okay? Do we have to hear this over and over and over and over again? Do you spend time with God? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a very busy person. I keep busy. My mind's flying everywhere. Do you know it takes me 10, 15 minutes to kind of warm up to spend time with God? Do you agree? I can't just jump in the Bible. If you say, oh, I give God 15 minutes. 15 minutes. I barely get my mind stopped by then. I try to read through the Bible every year besides studying a book and some other things. And so my reading through the Bible, that's my warm up. I like the chronological Bible. I love doing it that way. And I'll read, oh, maybe 10, 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't even know how to explain it, but you know when you become locked in and you're reading and understanding. That's when you begin. But if you can only give God 15 minutes a day, you're probably not going to learn much, okay? Especially if you compare with how much time you're giving your other connections. Does being plugged in or connected consume all your time for family, friends, or God? Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. Teach your kids this. Encourage them to be an example for all believers in purity, integrity, and control over the desires of the flesh. How do you guard your purity in our digital world? Are we not scared to death for our kids on the area of purity? TVs, commercials, billboards, walking through the mall, online, internet. It's out of control. How do you deal with your purity with cell phones and blogs and Facebook and Snapchat and iTunes and game systems and Instagram? How do you do it? The Bible tells us, dearly beloved, I beg you, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which, say the next word please, war against the soul. Amen. You don't have to watch news very long before you understand we have a war with ISIS. And there's terrorists all over the world seeking to go after those who love God. There's another war. It's bigger. There's many more casualties. It's the war that Satan has on the purity of your kids. The war of the flesh is one of the biggest battlegrounds that any teen, any young person ever faces. God is a jealous lover. God is not jealous of. God is jealous for us. Amen. He knows what kind of love can grab a hold of our hearts and pull our hearts away from Him. And He doesn't want those loves in our lives. I counseled a boy, I think he was 14, a homeschooler. And he said, Rand, here I was with mom doing a homework assignment on a computer. When that pornography came on the screen, he said, we quickly turned the monitor off, rebooted the computer. He said, I've never seen that stuff before. I've never seen it since. But I want to. And you must understand that that one particular love, once it grabs a hold of a young person or even an older person, they begin loving it more than they love their mom, their dad, their wife, and even their God. And God is a jealous God. And He doesn't want to share a heart. It is literal war. And the fleshly lusts and the battles that we face. So when it comes to our high-tech world, you have to ask your kids, are you communicating with people you do not know? Are you talking to people or playing games with people that you have no idea who they are? You must understand that the world is filled with creeps. I'm serious. Now, what I'm going to say right now, I'm not here to offend anyone, but I want us to think. Because there's some of you young girls and some of you even in your 20s. Actually, there's even wives who have been married for years who actually believe that no man is physically attracted to them. They even wonder if their own husbands are. And so they're online and inadvertently they meet somebody and they begin communicating back and forth. And then this guy starts saying things, wow, I don't know who you are, but it's almost like you can read right into my soul. Your husband must be the luckiest man in all the world. Well, I would give anything to spend my life with you. Now, what you're not thinking is he's doing this to 20 or 30 other people at the same time. Okay? But through that flattery and through those lies, he tries to reach out and grab a hold of your heart. I have stood and cried with too many teenagers whose moms have run off from their family because they meet a guy online, and dads who are now in prison because they kept, every time their flesh would cry out with the internet, they would say yes until finally it impacted their lives with others. I'm talking about serious, serious things. I'm trying to be very careful in the way I phrase things tonight. Are you accepting unsuitable friends that even make you question your authorities or even your faith? Are you becoming more and more accepting of lewd and crude language? TV is literally out of control. Movies, wow, they're off the chart. And the language that is so acceptable today, it's sad. And it's like the conscience level and the callousness of our hearts, what we were forced and are forced to hear at work, is commonplace even amongst Christians. Are you playing games that are full of nudity, crudity, and graphic violence, games that you have to think sin in order to win? Are you careful about the games that your kids are playing? The classic example is Grand Theft Auto. From what I understand, you have to break 7 of the 10 commandments in order to truly win that game. You say, Ren, come on, it's a game. I'm not really doing it. It's just a game. My Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's out of the heart that proceeds what he thinks and what he says. What you're thinking today, you're becoming tomorrow. And your thoughts of today are simply a picture of what you'll do 4 or 5 years from now. That's why you have to be so careful. Are you downloading any music that exalts music groups or musicians that love what God hates and hate what God loves. The music world, wow. And just because it's popular on an American Idol does not mean it's okay. And all of us so easily can get sucked into this. We can. It's easy to want to find out who's the next greatest American talent and all. I understand this is the world we live in. But we do have to understand that when our kids have absolutely no desire or heart for God, there's a reason for that. And many times is because they're fulfilling desires and wants with that which God is displeased. Are you viewing YouTube videos that are totally inappropriate? Are you saying yes to the constant advertisement for porn sites? Has your cell phone become a tool for temptation? Are you struggling every day to keep your thoughts pure? God has a lot to say about our digital world. A lot. 1 Timothy 4, Romans 12, Ephesians 5, Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Peter 2. Hey, it's only 5 to 8. Let's start over. Let me re-preach this message. Only this time I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 6. Then we go back to Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. I'm probably going to go back to 2 Timothy because there's a lot of passages through chapter 3 and 4 about what it's like to live in this wicked world. I can start all over and do it again. And when that hour is up, we can do it again. You know why? Because this book is so relevant to life today. And all scripture is God-breathed. And it is relevant. It's profitable. It is. I promise you. How you can handle our online world. How you can handle your anger. How you can handle your lust. How you can handle your fear. The answers are in this book. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful. That means it is living. In a way, it is totally supernatural. And this living Word of God, you'll be reading. And the comfort in your heart and the conviction of your heart, no other book can do that. Because of the power of this book. We need to love this book. We need to learn it. Need to study it. It must become part of our lives. If we are ever, ever to help our kids mature in their walk with God. In my world, I do a lot of messages and I have to do a ton of counseling with those who are addicted to immorality on many, many different sorts. I deal with a lot of pastors and youth pastors because they have nobody else to call. It's just part of the life that God has brought me into. Part of it I hate. I hate to even counsel it. I really do. But in all these years and studying and going to different conferences and reading book after book, I have come to one conclusion. There is only one thing that will change a man's heart who's already addicted to a moral mind. This. I know of nothing else. They can go and stay in homes for 9 months. But if it's not for this, you are clean through the word which I have given you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. There is a washing with the water of the word of God. This book will clean a mind from all fears and all lust and all anger. But it has to be part of your life. And you have to believe that if you have an issue that you've been struggling with for years, this book is relevant. It's profitable. It'll tell you what's wrong. It'll tell you what's right. It'll tell you how to fix that which is wrong and keep it right. That you can be an example for those you love in your family. That you could be a mature Christian. Completely furnished through all good works. You want to raise godly kids? You want to get your kids to love the Word of God? All you have to do is this. This is all you have to do. Love the Word of God. Let them catch you spending time in this book. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, you know that if we even had some kind of an invitation, it would have to last for at least 6 or 9 months. Because we all fail. It is so easy for us to get distracted with this busy world, games and TV and internet. There's just so much, Lord. It's so hard sometimes. I pray that you would put a renewed commitment in every single one of our hearts in this room, all of us. That we would love you more and love your word more. That we would learn to turn the computer and the phone and the TVs off. So we can just be connected with you and you alone. We do love you. And we know we don't spend the time with you that we should. But put within our hearts a true love for your word. Help us to teach our kids, our grandkids, to love your word. We know it's the only thing that will protect them and keep them close to you. We thank you for your word. But help us to live by it even more and more every day. As we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor.
I showed this to Bonnie German in the flyleaf of my Bible. It's not in this edition, but it is in the one at home. And that is what my dad wrote in a statement by D.L. Moody. And he wrote in the book was, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. If you ever find that you don't know where God is, then return to this book and you will find him.